flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Bub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Well, I had to squirt.
Scooby-Doo ghost penis mystery?
America, yeah! I'm educated here! Drugs, balls,
you can't just flop that thing out on national TV and be like, hey, check this thing out.
We can only really serve one ass.
I bought the cock and then I released
such an effing loser. I got something done. I raw dogged that dead rabbit today. He did it dirty. He did a lot of dirt. Anyone getting a sports woody?
The era has become.
I got something done.
He did it dirty. He did a lot of dirt.
Head coach?
God. What?
All right, nice to have you along. Running behind, thanks to Joey. Club 1080, commence. talking about the lottery, we were talking about the lottery ticket bought in at the Fred Meyer in Beaverton. $30 million, something like that.
And you have concepts of a plan for how you would distribute wealth.
I have concepts of a plan.
I mean, I want to know what you think about this. So as everyone has, you think about what you would do if you won the lottery. And you asked me a question during the break of like, what's the first badass thing you do or buy? And of course, we both agreed that we're hopping on a PJ. We're getting a PJ and we're going down to Vegas.
Yep. Just grab all your buddies and head on down.
Yes. Although, can I throw in I'm going to throw a wrench into that. Are you familiar at all with the gambling scene in Macau?
I've only heard tales. Like, is it kind of like the whole Monaco thing,
yeah,
where it's just like
it's Vegas on
uber luxurious,
yes,
yeah,
it's Vegas on steroids,
higher end, and
yes,
really really high roller.
Yes. Well, the only reason I know about it is, you know, when we go to Vegas, we stay at the Wynn, and my Wynn guy told me one time, I had a beer with him there, and he said, dude, he goes, and I don't remember the exact percentage, but you know, if you've ever been to the Wynn in Vegas, it's bougie, it's high end, and they bring in a lot. They make a lot of money, right? He said Macau, the Wynn in Macau dwarfs the Wynn Vegas. Like, most of their revenue, most of their of everything comes from their casino in Macau.
It's interesting. I don't have the first idea of like,
which blows my mind,
kind of what the wealth looks like,
yeah,
in that part of the, but it's like, can be very vast, and yeah, it's almost like apples and oranges.
Well, just go to like a couple of the tales that he's told me about Vegas. Wynn is insane about the money, and just like the F1 thing, and I mean, they just make money hand over fist. Like, it's kind of unfathomable how well they do. But then take that times a factor of 100, and that's Macau. So maybe we hop on a PJ
somewhere a little more exotic
and go there.
Okay.
I bet we could find some trouble.
Yeah. I would say the same for maybe Monaco.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, if I won the lottery, and I've thought about this, I think that it would be cool. And you tell me if this is lame, because I'm putting parameters on giving money, right? So it's like when you win the lottery, you think about, okay, I would give money to this person or that person. And you have a list of people. Maybe that they're in your family. Maybe they're your friends. I think it would be cool to offer money to people, but say, I want to fund your dream. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to open a bar? Do you want to, start a quilting league? I don't know. Whatever is your dream that you can't fund, I want to help you do that. Within reason, of course.
Yeah.
Is that lame or is that actually a good idea? Because I think it's, part of me thinks it's a little lame because now you're like, ugh. Just give me the damn money, Rob.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it's also potentially lame because what if you give people the funding they need for their dream and then they, like, don't execute it or they botch it and it's like, well, all they haven't even put your money to good use. They've just pissed it away.
Yeah, but at least they got to try it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be successful. You just dream. It's a dream. Let's make, you know. And if it's really a dream and you're really passionate about it, you probably won't fail. You know?
We had some family friends that they started a business from scratch, ground up, and they sold it for like $50 million. It was a pretty radical concept at the time, and I don't think it is as much anymore. I think there are other companies that do this. But they would take small businesses that wanted the medical benefits of like a large scale employer. Because you get, if you work for a bigger company, those become cheaper because there's so many people involved in them. So insurance gets a lot more expensive for smaller companies. So they would find a bunch of companies that wanted to have like-minded coverage or whatever and group them all together and then get them a deal with the company, with the insurance company or whatever. And they did this a bunch of times over and made a lot of money.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. But they did something. They're kind of, so I mean, obviously they worked for all of this, but it was kind of like winning the lottery when they sold the business for $50 million, and they're like, "Well, we can do whatever we want right now," and they did things based on the needs of people in their life. The grandpa in the family, he had like 8 years left of his mortgage or something. They're like, "We just want to pay off your house." Somebody else's, and my mom was involved in that. My mom's car had just died. And they're like, "Aren't you going up to visit Ryan in college soon? Like, don't you need a new car?" And she's like, "You cannot possibly be talking about buying me a car." And they're like, "That's what we want to do." So they bought my mom a car.
Cool.
Yeah. And they did that. And they did that for dozens of people in their life.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but I don't know. I just had that thought.
What would be the... Now, if someone brought this very idea to you...
Yeah, right.
What is the ROP dream that you want funded?
Well, that's a good question. I think because... Okay, so this is going to sound weird. But I think because it's money that... I think because it's money won, I would want to go a little riskier.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Even if someone else was funding it?
Yeah, but that they offered.
They did.
And they won this money. This is, in other words, this is money that if it goes away...
Isn't going to bother you or them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, it might bother me because I didn't make it succeed.
Well,
but
sure.
We're on the same page here. So then I would want to do a restaurant bar concept. Yeah. That's not something I would do with my own money, even if I could afford it, because I just think it's a really tough putt.
It's really risky. Tough. The margins are super thin.
Exactly.
It's hard to make it work.
I think that would be really, really fun to do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't risk my own money doing it, even though I bet on stupid sports.
Okay. No, but
But you know what I mean.
Different scale, yeah.
But if that money became available from a friend who offered that, I'd say, let's do something really effing cool. Here's how much we need. Let's get... That just would be a fun project. I don't know how I would deal with it, but I would be really passionate about it.
I like that.
That's probably what I do. What would you do?
I'm trying to think about it. I don't know. It's like
host a sports talk show.
Maybe depends who I could get to co-host.
And it makes me sad.
not you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can think of plenty of fun stuff that I wanted that I would want to do with the money, like, you know, travel, different travel experiences and stuff like that. But I'm trying to think of like what I would want to either set up or like work on that would. I don't have that answer right now. I don't know.
You don't have a dream, Ryan?
Are you telling me this is not my dream? Right here, right now?
This is your dream? Are you living your dream? That's cute.
The dream.
Well, I tell you what. We have great jobs. We have. This is a dream job.
Yeah.
This is. I wouldn't, you know, like, we're very lucky. We know that.
Yes.
But we also have other passions. That would be one of mine.
I'm like, I would just pay to make me an awesome golfer, but that's not really a project for anybody else.
Would you do that if somebody fund? If I won the lottery and I said, I want to fund, I will fund you.
Like basically getting a personal coach and going out and having a lesson anytime I want and playing as many rounds as I need to just get as good as I want. Yeah.
Yeah, because awesome. You wouldn't do that normally because you. Yeah, it's a lot of money and it's like,
It's a lot of money and it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have to work, I would have a lot more time.
Well, I'm not letting you not work.
Well,
I'm not giving
if
you
I
that had to
play that much golf, I'd probably just.
You'd be like Dan McLaughlin.
Who's that?
Well, he was the guy that we had on the show, the Portland guy who quit his job and.
Oh, yeah.
The 10,000 hours thing or whatever?
Yeah.
It didn't work, but he tried. Anyway.
Start?
All right, so. Well. How about this? We can cover all this when we win the lottery. Okay?
Sure.
Okay, should you clap when your plane lands? The answer is no. Next on The Fan. Well, we've all been on flights where the patrons, the passengers clap when the plane lands.
I've always had questions about this, too, because it seems so spontaneous. And yet there are times that absolutely nothing happens, and there are times that a surprising number of people break out into applause, and I don't know what drives that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's true. It doesn't usually happen.
But it's also not uncommon.
Yeah, right. But you don't really know what makes it happen.
Right.
Because it's not like people are talking about doing it.
No, you're not like passing a note around saying, hey, when this thing touches down, we all, no.
Could it be just that one person starts and then other people follow?
Maybe.
So if you have a plane clapper on your plane, you're going to get a few claps?
Or if you just have like a small family or group of people that like, if it's enough that it sounds like a group or a majority of people, then other people just naturally join in? I don't know.
Well, the question was posed to pilots recently about what they think when people applaud when the plane touches down. And this person, okay, so this is an article by Rosie Panter, a travel expert with Deal Checker, and she went in and talked to pilots, and they asked her, they said, well, what was the final determination? And she said, a round of applause, two words, no and no. If you have a particularly rocky flight and difficult landing, maybe a slight clap or a thanks to the pilot as you leave, but no regular flight should ever result in clapping. Let's leave this in the past. And she said the reason for that is pilots can often take offense to the fact that you're clapping as
like
if
it's mockery.
To say, it's like, wow, I'm actually surprised that you landed the plane so well, and I'm going to clap for that.
I do feel like a lot of the times that I have heard it, it's been after a turbulent flight, and people are either relieved or they're clapping in jest, like, hey, we made it, you know, and it's that.
And that pisses the pilot off.
Yeah, because it's like, well, I don't control the freaking wind, dude.
Exactly.
The windmills are driving the whales crazy.
I've often thought that sometimes, because I think that Vegas flights, because we go to Vegas a lot, I think that Vegas flights oftentimes have more clappers, and I think it's just because people are really effing excited.
They're amped up. On the way in, everyone thinks they're leaving a millionaire.
Yeah, right.
There is no greater discrepancy of types of people in the world than those entering Vegas and leaving Vegas. You put those people side by side, and they are two different people. It's crazy.
It's true.
Even just like the shuttle from to and from the hotel, the people that are getting off to charge in with their bags. They're all fired up versus the people that are like, yeah, we're going home.
Someone said on the Vancouver Ford text line that clapping on flights is a European thing. Is that true?
No idea.
Not when I've been to Europe.
I don't remember it being... Yeah, I mean, I don't remember it being more significant in Europe than in the U.S.
An etiquette expert told this woman that applauding may seem disrespectful. Applause is not necessary after a landing and is rude to the pilots. If the landing is good, clapping suggests surprise at such skill. If the landing is bad, applause would be insultingly sarcastic. But not all etiquette experts appear to agree.
Well, I think because if it is coming from a genuine place, it's hard to say that's bad etiquette. Because the person's not meaning it. I mean, it might offend, but like, okay, if the person's genuinely giving you applause, be thankful. Not mad at them.
Here's one pilot who said, my least favorite thing that I hear from passengers is, thank you for a safe flight. Why do you think that pisses him off?
Because it was supposed to be safe?
Yep. He says exactly what he said. He said, because it's, to me, it's a given. That is what I should do. Like, what do you mean, thank you for a safe flight? They'd be like, oh, hey, Rob, thanks for finally having a good show. Well, my goal is to try to give you a good show all the time.
This is starting to infringe in a sports arena that really bothers me, and that is where everyone and their mother has to get up and signal for the first down after their four-yard reception. I'm like, you're just doing your job, man. That's not like...
Yeah. Or just the
you
player.
Barely,
okay.
You barely did it, and like, of you're supposed to pick up the 4 yards. First down, yeah, okay.
So you're saying like the receiver, like the... Yeah. Okay.
It's not the same as the...
Well, what about the guy who, the defender who makes a stop, but like the guy picked up 15 yards or...
Or the quarterback overthrew the guy 20 yards out of bounds.
Yeah,
and he's
like, yeah.
He's doing the seatbelt thing and just swipe it away. Like, yeah.
Yeah, dude, the quarterback, yeah, exactly. I hear you on those.
I think it's weird when people get super hyped about something that's supposed to happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it fits that mold. Yeah. Something that should happen, we shouldn't acknowledge it.
Or celebrate. Yeah.
So the pilot suggests thanking pilots for an enjoyable flight.
Okay.
Said if you do that, then that makes them feel good. Or a great landing.
I don't feel like people have a ton of interaction with pilots getting on and off the flight. I will see them and I'll give them a little nod and just say thanks, but like people aren't stopping and having conversations.
I think they are.
Are they?
I think sometimes. Yeah. I think when the pilot comes out, I've always thought when the pilot comes out, and oftentimes they will stand there at the door, you know, and like look all Sully Sullenberger-y, you know, I've often thought that they want you to talk to them if they do that.
It's like the, head chef coming out out into the restaurant to speak with the diners.
Yeah. I mean, come on. And so I do think people take advantage of that, and they do talk to them.
Text line says they would applaud Rob for finishing a few segments on time.
You'd applaud me for doing a good show for once.
Somebody else on the text line saying that clapping on the plane is definitely a Puerto Rican thing, too. They do it on every flight.
Every flight.
That's what this person says.
Okay. Okay. One pilot said, if you do get a chance to stand in the door... Like we were just talking about, most people are staring down at their phones and they don't even recognize that there's an actual pilot standing in the doorway because they're so focused on where they're going. So I enjoy any kind of engagement where you get to say you're welcome or thanks so much. That's true. I didn't even think about that. So the pilot comes out. He's
just want a little human interaction.
Puffing out his chest like, yeah, that was me. How'd you guys feel about that?
See these wings? See these I did that.
And then none of them care. Everybody's just walking right by
like,
him.
Yeah, you did your job, jabroni. Keep going.
Jabroni. Every time I hear jabroni now, I think of Travis Kelce. Didn't he call...
Was that his thing?
Yeah, he called... who was that? It was after they won the Super Bowl. Didn't he yell and scream about...
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of wrestling and other impressions. It always makes me think of The Rock. So that was his word.
Jabroni.
Know your role and shut your mouth, jabroni.
Yeah, it was the Cincinnati mayor. Remember that? They went to the Super Bowl and he told the Cincinnati mayor to shut his trap, jabroni. Hey, I've got really bad ice penis news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. It is an uh-oh. And we got to sum up the trouble with the Gen Zers in one small anecdote. We'll get to those items next. Here's Buck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the headline on TMZ caught my attention because it is talking about an ice penis saga, which...
Yeah, you definitely... When it comes to the word penis, you don't want ice and saga near it.
No, that got me a click through.
It would probably get me too.
So there's this guy who gets really wasted in a bar in Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
And he's...
I feel like I know where this is going already.
Well, what do you think happens?
I think he goes outside to take a whiz, and he passes out, wean out, mm-hmm. and just freezes it off in the snow.
Okay. Close. He's drunk and unruly. He gets thrown out of the bar. They call the cops. They try to pin him down, but he's one of these wiggly MFers who's not going down without a fight. His pants start shimmying down as they're trying to subdue him, and his wiener... freezes to the ice on the, because, you know, it's
like,
I mean,
the whole
up in Canada.
The Christmas Story yes. on the pole.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so they lift him up. They rip him up.
No!
Yes. Yes, guys.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Bro.
Ah! And he gets a impromptu circumcision of sorts. How about that?
No.
No.
That really happened. There's video of it, too.
Yep, well, you can feel it kind of harden, and then you just yank.
Yeah, not good.
I had a jelly bean in my dong.
Not good. There's video. You can't really see the ripping of the schwanz, but there is video on TMZ.
Oh.
Yeah, that's rough. But here's the question I had with that. He's going to sue.
Who gets sued?
Well, I think he probably sues the cops, doesn't he?
I mean, could you sue the city for not de-icing the sidewalk?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can get into that.
I mean, or the... Was he at a bar? Did they do something wrong? I don't know.
Sue everybody. But is that really his... Is that really anybody's fault but his own? Even though that shouldn't have happened? You know what I'm saying?
Right, it's a little bit...
You were the perp. You were the one being...
You were the one with the wang out.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, they didn't have to be that way.
Right. You didn't have to take it out.
So I don't know if... I don't know.
Hmm.
I kind of wanted to see the wang.
What?
And finally, oh wait, we have one more segment, don't we?
Yeah, you want to take a break?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Gen Z thing next.
Okay.
Gen Z shockingly admits they don't know how to do this. Next on The Fan. A little late-breaking sports news, if you need it.
It's happened.
Brian Schottenheimer is the new coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So, and Jerry said that he is no longer named
you
Brian.
You've got to be smoking something over there.
He is.
Yeah, Jerry said, quote, Brian Schottenheimer is known as a career assistant. He ain't Brian no more. He's now known as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. What?
Huh?
I mean, I guess he's still Brian.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And he may still be known as a career assistant.
What a mess. Yeah, so last story here, Buckley. Researchers from Halfords surveyed grown-ups, including Zoomers, as well as Millennials, males and females ages 28 to 44, Gen Xers, who are folks 45 to 60, and Baby Boomers, Silver Foxes over age 60, to determine each demographic's level of self-sufficiency.
Mm.
And in the findings, the investigators found that 25% of Gen Zers had no idea how to change a light bulb in a ceiling lamp.
Oh, boy.
With many claiming, and this is the best part to me, many claiming that climbing a ladder is too dangerous. And that's very on brand for
Gen
Z.
This is right where you start railing on them for wearing their little flannel pants on the airplanes because they're so scared to be out in the world.
Oh, my God. Yes. They look like they have... Or they're having a mental health crisis on the plane.
But they're a little stuffy.
One in five also worry that the bulb might be too hot. So basically what they're learning is that Gen Zers spend upwards of $1,500 a year hiring professionals to knock out basic household tasks.
How? Hold on. So they are hiring people to replace light bulbs?
Yeah.
How much do... Well, can you charge for that? I could go and put in people's light bulbs.
You're a light bulb guy.
Well,
you're good at it.
I wouldn't even say I'm good at it. I'm just adequate at it, and I don't need to be good at it. Just doing it is fine.
How would you be good at changing light
bulbs? You wouldn't be. It's just it's a binary thing. You can do it or you can't. It involves twisting.
I'm fast. I'm fast. I do it with flair.
Oh, you got flair when you do it.
I have flair, yeah. Well. Kind of like a bartender flipping the bottles, you know?
Well, as a former bartender, that tracks.
I never break a bulb. Okay. I don't know. But I just thought maybe this was because they don't really own homes.
Oh, yeah.
Yet, you know, like, you'll learn.
Well, it also sounds like their parents never taught them how.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this light bulb's out. Like, this is how you do this.
Exactly. This is why, and you have little sparkies at your house. This is why you give kids chores right here.
Uh-huh.
You got to keep with the chores.
Yeah, the 3-year-old already fills up the dog's dish.
There it is. Because, you know, these kids grow up, they don't do anything on their own. They don't do anything.
Well, and not doing anything is one thing, but not knowing how to do anything is...
Well, if you don't do it, you don't know how to do it.
But you could not do something just by choice. But if you can't do something out of ability because you've never learned, that's... Apathy versus ability are two different reasons for me. And one's a lot scarier than the other.
Yeah. You're saying apathy is worse. Like...
Well, no. I think being that age and not even knowing how you would... Like, I mean, I guess the people who are scared that they'll fall off the ladder, that's just pathetic.
Gen Zers are scared of everything.
Yeah.
Little bitches.
But if it's like, I don't know how... Is that their fault? Or did who failed them?
Well, I feel like changing a light bulb wouldn't be an I don't know how thing. Like, wouldn't you just do it? Don't you just do it? Like, don't you?
And also, even if you didn't know,
I don't even think you have to
teach. Wouldn't you Google it?
Like, yeah. Do you really have to teach changing a light bulb, or do you just kind of figure it out?
I think it's probably one of those things that we all learn by having watched someone else do it.
Really?
I mean,
you don't just...
I don't remember my dad ever sitting me down and being like, this is how you change a light bulb. But I don't remember the first time I did it by myself. I probably just watched my mom get up on a step stool or my dad get up on a ladder and do it.
I think it's just one of those things where the light's out and you go, wow, I got to swap that out. Like, how do I do that? And then you just go like poking around at it, you know, like you do anything else. Like, oh, it screws. Oh, there we go. It screws out.
I do remember one time feeling very accomplished when I changed the headlight on my car that was burned out.
Yeah,
I like I was at one point an individual who would be like, I don't know how to do this. I better take it to the auto shop and let them do it. And then I'm like, I can read my car manual. I can pop this bulb out.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Because some of those aren't that easy.
And then I was very proud of myself, and then I was told by a lot of other people that you should not be proud of yourself. That's basic bitch stuff.
Are some of those not that easy? I have had that where I've had the car in the shop, and the guys in the shop struggle to change the, because they can't get the damn thing off. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a possibility.
But anyway, I think that basic electrical, I finally got there, is not hard, but...
But it is dangerous.
Exactly.
Or can be.
And I'm not saying changing a light bulb. I'm just talking about basic electrical.
Right.
Like swapping out a ceiling fan. And,
yeah, my wife does a lot of fixtures.
Yeah, exactly.
and she even says, she goes, oh, my method? Just to make sure the power's off and then hope I get it right.
That's exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not that hard. Like, you can actually
figure it out.
It's a
pretty simple concept.
You just need to make sure you're not going to die.
Yeah.
And and there's one way to do that. Shut it all off. And then you can go messing around, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Attach this to that, this to that. Ah, the kids. Freaking Will. I blame it on Will Ortner. Well, everybody have a great weekend. Here we go again with a weekend.
Don't get sick in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas, so I'll be back Thursday.
Win some money. Don't get sick.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to take some precautions. See what happens. Everybody, Suk is back Monday. 3 to 7 on Fangin' Night. He got the action. He got the motion. Oh, yeah, the boy can play. Dedication. Devotion. Turning all the nighttime into the day.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.